99.1, 92.3 is FM Talk.
It is live and it's local with John and Jay right here on 99.1 FM Talk. And in the Smith & Mason Valley, it is 92.3. We have a podcast you can go check out at 991fmtalk.com. It's broken up by hours 1, 2, and 3. Our number, 775-884-9910. John.
John Potter with Jay Biggs. I know horses are a controversial topic in Nevada. There are some who will correct you, and I'm thinking of a few. You can't say wild horses. They insist you say feral horses. Yes, they cause a lot of damage, environmental damage, damage to the ranchers' land and things like that. But the point is that they're here. And as long as the horses are here, I say put them to work. And there are some positive things that horses can do for humankind.
Are you talking about horses or illegal aliens?
We have Scott and Carolyn Hooper. They run the Center for Adaptive Riding, and they have this program. It's called Horsemanship for Heroes. How can horses help out humans in Northern Nevada? Scott.
Thanks so much, John, and it's really great to be here. So, we are, again, we're Scott and Carolyn, goes by Kay, and we are veterans, and we do, our program is located at the Center for Adaptive Riding in Southwest Reno, and Kay and I, a little bit of background on us, and then Kay can dive into what the program is all about. So Kay and I have a combined 49 years of active duty military service in the U.S. Army. We're retired from the Army. We are... you know, in that time, seven combat tours, two peacekeeping missions. I mean,
thank you for your service, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks for saying that. But we have a deep connection to service and to the veteran community. And so a couple years back, we moved to Reno in mid 2020.
Where from?
From Western North Carolina.
Nice. North Kakalaki.
Also horse country. Nice. But no humidity here, and that had a significant influence. Kay's straight hair getting us to Reno. So, while a couple years ago, we became horse owners too. And during that time, Kay, as a lifelong learner, decided to go seek another degree. This time, a Bachelor of Science in Equine Studies through Post University, an online program out of Connecticut. This is fantastic. So we could be better horse owners. And so she used her GI Bill to do that, which is awesome.
Nice.
Same time, I got involved with some social media Facebook challenge on doing push-ups every day for PTSD, anxiety, and depression. And it kind of brought to me a personal realization of what, you know, I knew those were issues, and maybe a little time after we've been retired, more thoughtfulness. And so through this challenge, I started recollecting some things. And anyway, also during that time, I would walk our horse around the pasture every morning to turn her out. And that, to me, triggered the power of the human-horse bond. And then while Kay was studying everything about horses, we did this. We decided, you know, we can do something with this.
Well, you say that horses are therapeutic. How does it work?
1,000,000% they are.
I'll let Kay answer that.
Yeah, Kay.
Miss Kay, hello.
Sure. I mean, what's wonderful about horses is horses have been around for many millennia, and they have biologically changed over the years, but there are some things that have stayed constant, and that's the fact that they are herd animals and they are prey animals. And so as a result, they are ready to do what's called fight or flight at any minute, and it's usually going to be flight as soon as they determine there's some kind of danger. And so that has made them very perceptive to things that are happening around them, and they can also sense when there's something amiss. So for us in our program, if we've got a veteran who shows up, what we're trying to do is the horse is basically his partner, and the horse is going to do what they call mirroring, or some people call it a metaphor effect, where if he is upset, the horse will feel the same thing. And the horse is going to reflect that to him. So even if deep down he's got a smile on his face and or she and is ready to just, you know, execute whatever whatever we have asked them to do, that horse may suddenly prick its ears up and look around. And
but you're saying horses read human emotions.
They do.
There's evidence of that.
There is evidence of it. Research studies, all kinds, that indicate that the power of that human-horse bond, and that's what we leverage for our program.
Many prison systems in the U.S. have had success with inmates taking care of horses. There was a great movie about that, starring Bruce Dern and Connie Britton, and they filmed it at the old Nevada State Prison in Carson City, called the movie's The Mustang. What is it about horses that soothes and even heals the wild human beast? How does a horse do that?
Sometimes we'll have clients show up or participants, and they all see a horse, and it's scary. I mean, we're talking, you know, 1,000-pound-plus animals that tower over you. But what they find is, if you approach the horse in the right way, if you approach them with a partnership and respect attitude, those horses will be kind to you. And what's really great is they never judge you. They live in the moment. They allow you to be you. And that is what's happening.
Like awesome big dogs. I mean, honestly, they're accepting
super
of everything.
Big.
Well, your flyer says they increase self-esteem, self-worth, trust for others, and community integration, decrease depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress, and they bond with you. Okay, so who are you? Who's being helped out right now with the horses in your program? Are they students?
So,
or are they age? Or?
So this is a veterans program, and we actually named it Horsemanship for Heroes, because our goal is, I mean, we are veterans, so developed by veterans for veterans, but we want to expand from that, and we called it Heroes because we know that first responders are also dealing with a lot of trauma, nurses in emergency rooms, and so our ideal objective is eventually this grows for capacity, and we could bring not just veterans, but other service-minded folks that have experienced trauma. Because this is about dealing with trauma. And even in a reflective experience like Kay talked about, it's, okay, you see how you just reacted with how your horse reacted to you. How do you think your coworkers react if you walk into the building?
Where do you get the horses for your program?
So we have about 10 horses right now for our program. We also have some mini horses. We have a pretty good stable, and they're all part of that Center for Adaptive Riding, which also does therapeutic riding for, you know, people with disabilities, cognitive and physical disabilities. These horses are very well trained, and we're hoping to get even more. Because
you train them to be therapeutic?
They are. I mean, they have to be calm. They have to, especially with the kids, you know, if there's instability in how the person sits in the saddle, they have to be able to accept that. But we're also very careful on never stressing the horse too much. They're limited on the amount of time they're allowed to be in these kinds of sessions, just because we're very cognizant of that.
Where is your center for adaptive riding?
It's the old Hidden Valley Golf Club, isn't it? Somewhere in that area?
Well, no, it is. it's at 915 Maple Creek Court in Southwest Reno. And so that is, it's really a residential area that has this property in it. And so it's a quiet, and the environment is quiet, safe, secure, and perfect for what we're doing.
Absolutely. I mean, well, it gives it kind of that discreetness as well. You know, like if someone has disabilities, you know, they want to get out there and just be themselves and not worry. You know what I mean? I completely understand. It's kind of like when we had the mayor of Sparks on last week, and they had that new disabilities park there in Sparks, which was funny because that's in a residential area too. But they were getting complaints. They were getting complaints that the kids were having too much fun at the disabilities park, and they were too loud. So the mayor was like, "Okay, I'm good with those complaints."
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah,
right?
I was gonna say. So like, well, so how many different, like, so what kind of things can these, you know, like veterans do there? Like, is it like barrel jumping? You know, I'm just wondering, like, what kind of activities do you offer for them
with
horses? It's not just riding in a circle, right?
So,
right.
No, not at all. In fact, our program is designed in two phases. The first phase is 10 weeks long, with the first eight weeks kind of focused on fundamentals of horsemanship. So they'll learn about how to lead a horse, how to groom a horse, how to catch a horse, And then how to walk them and do some other things. We also do what's called round pinning. And round pinning is really neat, where people use their basically their energy to get the horses to move at the speed and direction they want them to. And at the end, what we're looking for is something called join up, which is where we stop the horse comes up to you in the middle, and then follows you around. It's a powerful, powerful feeling. The last 2 weeks in phase one are introduction to riding. Mm-hmm. And then phase two, we actually have an 8-week in the saddle introduction to riding program. And I just want to say one other thing. We do know there has to be continuity of care for these veterans. So we offer them opportunities to stick with the horses by volunteering at the center, by maybe going a certification track like what I have done, or actually we want to start a drill team, a military drill team on horseback, so that we can start performing in the community.
Well, you had to postpone your first session 2 weeks to February 3rd. Because of the weather affected this?
Right. Yeah. So the weather definitely had a vote in what we were doing. And it's interesting you say that. We told you where we are. We are also in the process of moving and relocating to a facility about a quarter mile away from where we currently are
Southwest
located.
Southwest Reno.
With an indoor arena, we will be able to execute year-round without problems. And so that is just going through the process. But we'll start on February 3rd. And
you have openings for folks?
We do have openings.
All right.
So
give us your phone number and how people can contact you.
So they can contact us by shooting us an email at heroes@adaptiveriding.org. Right. Or our phone number is 775-329-1839, and that's to the center. Express interest. They can go to the website, adaptiveriding.org, and there's a whole portion on Horsemanship for Heroes in there. There's also, spots. We're a nonprofit organization, so Kay and I are free. We're doing this voluntarily.
Well, if someone wanted to volunteer, is there any requirements, age limits, anything like that?
So we're looking for 15 years and older to come and actually be in some of the positions. We've got volunteer positions with the veterans themselves, or if they want to volunteer over with the therapeutic riding piece too.
Right.
So, and then the barn team, we need plenty of people to come out.
The poop
and
patrol.
lots of horses to care for. And that's one of the most therapeutic things you can do. So I highly, highly recommend it.
Scott and Carolyn with a K, Hooper on Horses, the Center for Adaptive Riding. Great success to you.
Well, those horses could identify as ponies, John. We don't know.
There are some ponies that do that, actually.
Well, God bless you for the work you do for our veterans. Yeah. Appreciate
it.
Yes, and thank you
so much
for service. We'll have you back on for sure.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be right back here. More to talk about. 775-884-9910 is our phone number. It is live and local with John and Jay on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.
On an iPhone? Get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Good morning. It's still bitterly cold out there. I'm John Potter with Jay Biggs. Our live and local show takes place every Saturday morning, 9 to noon. Right
24 here. Bitter degrees outside, at least here in the Reno Sparksman.
It was 11 when I woke up this morning.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, let's check in on weather down in Carson City. Our own Jerry Evans is down there. Good morning, sir.
Morning. 32 below. I've lived in 32 below in Chicago at about a 40 mile per hour wind. And I can remember going out Christmas shopping one day, and my wife set her purse down, a leather purse with a long, whatever you call the handle strap of the purse, set it down while we were looking at Christmas trees for a second, and it got stiff. So and I can remember walking in. I worked at 444 North Michigan Avenue. Right by the river in Chicago, and I remember my jeans when I would walk into the radio station there in the afternoon, evening, and your pants would get stiff. Now, that's cold. This is nothing.
Yeah.
Quit your complaining, crybabies.
Well, it's actually windier here than in Chicago.
That's
the windy city, but that's because of politicians.
Right? That's one thing I never realized, too, when I moved to Nevada. Many years ago was the wind. I mean, I've had trailers flip over from kind of like the island, Guam, if Hank Johnson, from the wind. 120-mile-an-hour winds, I think we got about 5 or 6 years ago in the Carson Valley. It destroyed a lot of the old barns. But anyway, back to this. Let me clarify this, and if your guests, your previous guests are listening too, in case they got the wrong impression, listen to the words coming out of my mouth. I love horses. I love riding horses. I actually considered and looked at a couple of horses to buy several years ago, and thankfully common sense kicked in and I didn't. And talk to any horse owner that doesn't have them now. They'll say, yeah, they loved it then, but man, what an expense and a high-maintenance animal. But I do love horses. Unlike a lot of people, including some, it's funny, during the campaigning, that was a question asked during one debate, including most Republicans don't understand a thing about management of any animal species. And, you know, I make a big deal out of labeling them correctly. They're not wild as in elk, antelope, bear, deer, badger, coyote. They're feral. They were released here in the United States. They continue to spread and populate, especially here in the West. And I've unfortunately been out in these remote areas of Nevada hunting, and I've seen what they can do in a short matter of time. In 7 years, I watched an area that had, I think it's called bunch grass, lots of grasses as well as crested wheat that Endow had planted that I helped pay for as a hunter in buying licenses and tags. And I watched an area, probably a 20, 30-acre area that was planted in crested wheat, turn into that, a lot of people that get out there will know what I'm talking about, that moon dust, that powdered dust from horses. And again, it's, do I want to see every feral horse in the state eradicated? No. Do I want to see about 80% of them done, eradicated, killed, fed to people, shipped off to countries that eat horse and like it? Yes. Because any study that you read in terms of carrying capacity, if you don't know what that means, I'll simplify it for you. And I wish somebody would do this in the Carson Valley where there's a pasture and fence off 10 acres, put a line down the middle, put 10 cows on 5 of those acres, put 10 horses on 10 of those acres on the other half, or 5 acres, whatever I said. And then look to see what happens in just a year. And here's a great example for those of you that love these feral horses, is drive north of Reno, just past, is that Hallelujah Junction there? Okay. Drive just
up
past
north,
that.
Yeah.
There's a friend of mine named Eddie Floyd that's got a ranch there called the Wynema Ranch, and they put feral horses on that ranch. Donate to them. Continue to donate to them if you want to. Please do. And look at that, I don't know if it's about a 20-acre section of that ranch where feral horses have been, and what you'll see is not a blade of grass. It's bare. It's barren. And, again, just some simple things. Look at a cow's mouth structure. Look at a horse's mouth structure. They pull horses. They pull grass out of the ground, teeth on top and bottom, cows graze. They're like lawnmowers. I can't make it any more simpler than that. There's a great film out called Horse Rich, Dirt Poor, made by a person that really didn't have an opinion on it until he started filming them, and just see what they've done to Nevada, because most of that film is in Nevada. So let me make it clear again. I love horses. Mm-hmm. I'm into conservation and management. And even though I don't consider them wild, I'll concede. If you want to call them wild horses, call them wild horses. They're not, it's not accurate. Kind of like saying a Democrat is Democratic. most of them. They're not. These horses aren't wild. They are feral. But I'll concede that if most of the people would just simply do a little reading and research. And if nothing else, I'll tell you exactly where to go. I don't have pictures of, and I don't mean that in a pejorative way. I'll tell you exactly where to go. Now, I'll tell you exactly where to go to see what they've done to an area. Unfortunately, I don't have pictures previously, but I've been shown by other people down near Table Mountain, northeast of Tonopah, where I was standing there in kind of a small valley that came down out of the mountains. And the guy said, you know, Jerry, 5 years ago, there was grass up to your knees, and it was nothing but desert, sage-ish, weedy, then cheatgrass, etc. And that's what they do. Just simple management.
Yeah.
Gary Schmidt, I'm going to take to task. I remember he did a debate I was watching for that Senate seat in Reno, and he said, yeah, just let them be. Just let them be. They'll, you know, they take care of themselves. Well, that's not the way life works.
Oh, you do impressions now, too.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, my God.
Well,
it's, you know, Jerry, it's one of those things. Okay, so, yeah, the thing is they're here. Yeah, they cause environmental damage, but, you know, cows, maybe not as much as horses. Mining causes a lot of environmental damage. Just one of those things that we have here in Nevada, you know?
Well, are you suggesting that we start managing the population of miners?
He got me.
Well, you
he
should,
got me.
Well,
I knew he'd get me.
You know, should around Joe Biden. For
you
sure.
know, and if
I,
oh, not that kind of minor.
We didn't know what you were going to talk about today. I knew it would not be about Prince Harry. That's all I can say.
Well, okay. Well, actually, I was going to. Here's a question for you. Another question. Besides the potholes, besides the horses, I kind of going back and forth as to whether or not I want to carry on air. I hate to make fun of people and a liberal. Schooled me a long time ago about people. Laura Ingraham was terrible at making fun of the way people look. And this isn't the person's looks, but, man, I got to tell you, having Governor Kermit the Frog voice, Lombardo,
yeah.
I'm wondering whether or not there's a question. Anybody can text in their answer at 775-884-9910. As to whether or not we should carry Governor Lombardo's State of the State Monday, at 6 p.m.
Oh, that's right. You haven't decided.
I haven't really decided because, A, I don't think it's that
important.
I don't think it's that important. It's A.
It's a lot of the same stuff, I think.
I don't think there will be any surprises, really.
And listening to that voice for an hour would be challenging. And C, I think it's some of the same old thing. And again, I hope I'm wrong, and I will be happy to apologize for the way I think things are going to go. And I think the biggest indicator of what type of an administration, what type of governing he will do over the next, assuming all 4 years, is by looking at his chief of staff and Ben Kiekheffer. There, a tax-raising Republican. And back to the Republican Party, as I said earlier, you know, we're lucky if you've got 10%, and probably not all of that 10%, those 20, that held up voting for Kevin McCarthy as Speaker of the House. Here's another question, which is, do you think will Republicans fold yet again, as they have done? I don't know what they've ever stood firm on and held firm on. Will they fold on this raising the debt ceiling? And I can remember years ago, I was kind of, I hate to admit it, but the last person that I ever donated money to was Alan West from Florida, who only served one term in Congress. And as soon as he voted to raise the debt ceiling, I said, Jerry, you're a moron. You're an idiot. It's the old fool me once, fool me twice. You're an idiot because he voted to raise the debt ceiling. And simple common sense, as you and I and everybody continues to live with, is that you don't, you live within your means or you go broke. And that's unfortunately what the Republicans, including Donald Trump, George Bush, go on and on and on. I remember when they talked about how Reagan was spending too much money for our defense, but every single time the Republicans fold like a wet blanket, and will they fold without any concessions towards spending? I don't know. What do you think, John?
They swear, both sides swear, they're not going to give in. So okay. I'm just sick of the whole thing. It seems to happen every year, so okay. I'm just tired.
All right, one last thought before I jump out of here.
Thank you for reminding me.
And this other thing that just drives you crazy, and it's where I cannot watch television. I can hardly listen to anybody in anything because of this insane, stupid, ignorant, I make myself clear, government shutdown. There's another wild horse type saying. There is no such thing as a government shutdown. There never has been, never will be. The government continues to function, and when you hear words like essential, well, if you have government employees that are non-essential, why do we have them? I don't really have anybody
Good
like
question.
That in my business. Everybody's essential. Why do we pay for non-essential people that are useless to us? Why do we have to pay for those? I think a government shutdown would be great.
We got to start acting essential, Jay.
I guess so.
Jerry, thanks for your views. I appreciate it. You got us all fired up. Have yourself a good day, my friend. All right. We're going to break for Fox News. John and Jay, live and local, 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
Fox at the top. Fox at the bottom. Live and local right now on KKFT.
John Potter with Jay Biggs. 20 minutes left to go. Our phone number 775-884-9910. Live and local every Saturday morning, 9 to noon.
That's right. And, you know, we were talking earlier, John, about snowfall, and I just went online.
A lot of it, right?
Well, there's been quite a bit of it for sure. Just taking a look here, and, you know, we do ski reports here at Evans Broadcast on all of our stations, including this one, sister stations that you can listen to throughout your week. But Diamond Peak right now has 100 inches of powder. Looks like 96 inches of groomed snow at Lee Canyon. And Mount Rose, this is what I was talking about earlier, Mount Rose Ski Tahoe sits at 328 inches of groomed snow. Well, you don't want to fall into that depth.
Another reason why I'm not the biggest football fan, but I'll be indoors all day long watching the big, big, big games.
Well, my Chiefs are going to be playing.
Your Chiefs,
yeah,
I see.
My Chiefs. They're going to be playing. They're going to be playing the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are owned by the Khan family.
I finally had to drop my NFL TV boycott. Finally, which the boycott started when the networks dropped the Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah, I was going to say, mine was when the knee went down.
They added commercials instead of the national anthem. Terrible. Do they still play it live at the games?
It's probably racist. I don't know.
I hope they do. Do they? I don't. Mr. Craig Know-It-All.
Do they play it before your hockey games?
No. Well, yes. But yes, they do on the national NFL stuff. They do play it. They commercials. Just happened to take the break at just the right time. They're so well scripted.
Right. Well,
they and for a while they were doing two anthems, weren't they?
Yeah, they had. I can't remember what the other one was. I think it had to do with Black Lives Matter, but I'm not 100% sure.
The
on
Black
that.
National Anthem.
This is why they still do it in hockey, because the blackest thing in hockey is usually a puck. So
two different anthems. That's segregation under a different name. And when you go down a road where you're having two different national anthems and our universities are having separate graduation ceremonies for black and white along with separate dorms, it's segregation. We're going back to that under a different name. And you're taking young people and making them hyper aware of race in a way that they otherwise wouldn't be. I mean, you can talk about eliminating the national anthem at sporting events, but I think we should have one national anthem, as we all have one country that we should stand in support of. Our country is all of us. We literally watched a man die in front of us on the field and be brought back to life. We watched in unison with millions of others, and now we got to figure out now is how to care as much about the victims of crime and violence as we did about Damar Hamlin. You know, Americans
yeah,
prayed.
I guess you're right.
Americans prayed for Damar, and Americans prayed to end Western drought.
Isn't it interesting?
Like, maybe Americans should pray more.
Well, I mean, just think about it. Wasn't it Tom Brady who was getting in trouble for praying on the field and all that stuff? Maybe not Brady.
There was a high school coach that got laid off or fired because of it and went to court and all that.
No, there was an NFL guy who was under scrutiny for this. So he was praying on Tim Tebow.
Tebow. Right.
There we go. Yeah, Tebow.
I think that hurt his career, too.
Right. Well,
because look how long it took for us to think up his name.
Well, that, yeah, maybe so. But if you think about it, it's like there's only certain appropriations you can pray on the field and it's A-okay. You know, a guy's hurt. You can't, I don't know.
Well, we did all come together praying for Damar Hamlin, so.
Well, yeah. And it sounds like things are better for him now.
Yeah, there you go.
So hopefully the power of prayer.
There you go.
Power of positivity. Okay, real quick, let's go ahead and just do a break. John, let's get this out of the way, because then when we come back, we can finish off the show.
Yes.
We need to get this out of the way. So
phone number
775-884-9910. Don't forget to call us if there's something you want to talk about. We still have about 15 minutes left here on Live and Local with John and Jay on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
It's live and it's local with John and Jay right here on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3. Our number, if you would like to call, we still have some time if you want to talk to us, 775-884-9910.
Well, January 21st, 2023. What have we learned so far in the new year? What have we learned so far in the new year? Joe's Garage, without a doubt, is every bit as secure as the southern border. Maybe. Now, I got to say, okay, maybe this is understandable, that keeping track of a bunch of papers, some of which are classified, can get messed up and sometimes lead to mistakes. But maybe Biden, the Democrat, should have been big enough to acknowledge that when the case happened in Florida there. There's much more to this, as always. I don't think the number of documents is as important, really, as what's in the documents.
Right.
Slow walking that discovery that could have changed midterm election outcomes is just terrible.
Well, I mean,
this may be the easy out for Biden in 2024. You know, the Democrats know he's not the best choice. Will they back him up on things?
You know, John, even this deep in 2 years in, I can't believe it. It's been 2 years since Biden was sworn in. I mean, like, what? But, okay, so even this deep into it, I don't know if I'm still convinced he's going to be here at the end of the term. And maybe not him himself. I mean, just like maybe, you know, he's going to be incompetent or something to that effect, and Kamala's going to take over. Or, okay, best to, yeah, well, laugh
come on.
You.
No, her approval ratings are way below Biden's.
And I guess Willie Brown's not making any decisions in D.C. Well,
back to local. We have a new place that opened up. Finally, it opened.
Yeah, the Reno Public Market's doing its grand opening today down there at the old Chopper Square at Plum in Virginia. Now, you might remember we had Bite Me in here, the food truck.
That is actually the name of this food purveyor, Bite Me.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. And Bite Me food truck was in here and was basically, I think, the concept of the Reno Public Market. I'm going to try to get a hold of the powers that be maybe over there and have them come in here in the next couple of weeks and talk
with
us.
You've been in the place. I have not been, but you did.
Well, they went. Okay, so about a week and a half ago, they did a soft opening over there, and you could walk through, but it was nothing like it's going to be today and tomorrow, because this is like the big opening with like the bands, and everybody's out there with the free swag and all the good deals. And you know,
from the looks of it, it looks like it's really designed for the younger folk.
It is. I mean, it's again.
I mean,
it's,
you look at the Bite Me place.
Well, you know, it's specialty stuff. The Bite Me people are like the fries people. You know, they got the gourmet fries.
See,
know?
But I'm going to miss the Hallmark store, the My Favorite Muffin, the Shepler's.
The post office.
And the guy that was on the post office. And there was the guy.
With the toys.
There was the.
I love that guy.
The toy shop upstairs, the collectibles and all that.
Uh-huh.
But there was also the guy who repaired shoes.
Yes.
He was so good.
You know, that and that's mall, all though, gone. But that mall was so desolate. I mean, you walk in there, and it was just, I mean.
That's
just,
what I liked
the old
about
70s
it.
Wood grain.
That's what I liked about it.
John, you should have bought it and restored it and made a house out of it.
And they had, like, on the walls, pictures of old Reno and everything, and.
Yeah.
Quiet as a mouse. Now, actually, I hear their acoustics are very loud.
And inside of there?
Oh, they got people strumming musical instruments.
Well, yeah, they had to. Well, the Reno Public Market is made to be like a, how would I say it, almost like Food Truck Fridays, but indoors.
In other words, plenty of $18 sandwiches.
Yes. Yeah, well, yes, exactly as you said. Yeah, it's very hipster. I mean, it's a lot like, you know, we were talking about how the basement earlier, it is geared toward a younger crowd, I think. You know, I mean, to get out and just gentrified or whatever you want to call the neighborhoods. Because, I mean, if you think about even me, myself, in the last 10 years, what it looks like from Plum North on Virginia is a completely different thing than what it looked like 10 years previous. It was not a nice area of town. Midtown was bad.
Maybe I'll attempt that traffic circle just one more time.
Well, you know.
I busted a side mirror on my truck. My truck's apparently too wide for the traffic circle that they have there at the public market. Just broke off the side mirror. You know how much that cost to replace?
Yeah, you told me a
over
lot.
$800 now.
Oh my gosh. Well, this is why you need Kevin Reaney to get you hooked up.
A side mirror. Okay, I'm going off tangent.
Well, speaking of roundabouts in Midtown, if you go through that roundabout, please make sure that you take the proper right and you don't drive right into that person's store that's had like seven drunks hit it.
The problem is the traffic circle on the right had this big sign. So you really had a narrow, maybe they took the sign down. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
You'll see some blue paint on it from my side mirror.
There you go. Well, all right. Well, so what else we got going on, John? We got NFL today. That's right. The Jags are going to be playing.
Yes, my boycott's over. Sure.
Yeah, the boycott's over, so that's good. And coming up, actually, next week, I'm still attempting to have my Healing Bowls lady come on. I think that's going to be good.
Healing Bowls. You know, I've been polite lately because you keep talking Healing Bowls, and I've been I didn't know what the heck you were talking about.
Did you look
so
it up?
So I will finally ask you, what are healing bowls that you keep talking about?
Well, okay, so they're like the bowls.
Maybe I didn't want to hear about them. But.
Well, no, I mean, like, some people believe in, like, you know, like, very spiritual things, like chakras and energies. And, yeah, I know, okay. But these
are
bowls
you going
are
to chant
crystals.
Next Saturday?
No, I am not going to chant. I'm not going to be wearing a monk outfit.
You know how it is when people keep talking about something and you act like, oh yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. So they wouldn't hear about it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh boy.
I do want to hear about those healing bowls.
I think, you know, honestly, they're very therapeutic and people do a lot of like yoga and stuff like that with them, you know? Also another person we're going to try to have on.
Have you chanting at the airport and passing out pamphlets.
I'm gonna look like Sergeant Stastanko on Cheech and Chong, just like after I robbed the monks of their outfits. Anyways, Blissed Out Skate Shop. It's a brand new skateboard shop down in Carson City. I believe they're gonna be with us next week. I went down there and talked to the owners, and it was kind of cool because, you know, I know you, John, just old school.
Old
you know
man,
how
yeah.
well no
Senior
you remember
citizen.
The Pal Peralta days. Where, you know, the guys wearing their chucks and stuff, you know, are skating around. And it was just kind of a normal thing. And then I don't know what happened. I mean, as I got to the age of skating in the 90s, we got a really bad name. A lot of skateboarders.
It's a fad that stayed around, though. This started in the 1990s, pretty much. Skateboards and all that. So
yeah, but the thing is this new skate shop, I mean, it's part of, you know, like the environment going green. A lot of people living in, you know, areas where they're not having to transport so far and whatnot. Skateboards are kind of making a comeback, and this guy wants to talk to us.
Okay,
about it.
Cool.
So I think that could be kind of cool.
Absolutely. That's going to be next week. We're live and local each and every Saturday morning at 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. So spread the word. I promise I'll do something for our Facebook page.
Maybe,
promises,
you know what? Once the.
Promises.
Hold on.
Well.
He's waiting for the weather to get good so he can do the backyard segments again.
Yeah, I just don't think anything I do is interesting, but I'll post something.
Believe me, it's interesting. Yeah.
Just look for Live and Local with John and
Jay
on Facebook.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, and
speaking of, a lot of work.
It can be, especially if you forget your logins. but one thing you can do, we do have a podcast, so just remember this. If you did not get a chance to listen to this, you're just tuning in right now, and you know, you want to check out the first couple hours of the episode, you can do so, and all the, you know, past episodes as well. Retro editions of Live and Local. Just go to 991fmtalk.com. On the top left upper screen, there's the drop-down. Click podcast, and it's broken down by hours 1, 2, and 3, and by the date. And Craig, today is pretty much up other than this last hour, correct?
That is correct. The first 2 hours are up about 6 minutes after each hour they were up.
Nice. Okay, so... And Craig, of course, always does that for us and takes care of us. A big thank you, Craig, for handling things down there in Carson City today. A big thank you to Jerry Evans for coming on this morning and clarifying his stance on horses.
So since he mentioned Wainema Ranch, it's right Wainema Ranch Wild Horse Sanctuary. Their website, if you're wanting to donate, is WainemaRanch.com, and that's WYNEMA Ranch.com.
All right, Wainema.
Thanks all to our guests, Rick, Diane, Terry, David with Freshies, and David at the Greenhouse Garden Center.
Yeah, it's definitely been a fun morning. And, you know, if you ever want to come on the show, please reach out to us. Of course, it's weekend@evansbroadcast.com. That's our email. Go ahead and shoot us a message and let us know what it is you would like to come on and talk about and introduce the community to, because it's always something live and it's always something local right here in our community. John?
Hey. See you all next Saturday, folks.
All right, it's 99.1 FM Talk, Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3.